another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank Arcuri.
And this is the show where we dream of offer sheets.
Do we?
Well, I mean, I do.
You do.
Do you?
Eh.
You don't dream of them?
Because they just never happen.
Dream of them, Frank. Wish for them. Want
but there's
them.
Reasons for it.
Want them, though. Desire them.
Listen.
Wish for the chaos to be unleashed upon the NHL once more.
So, free agencies today.
Free agency started today, officially. We'll get to that big problem that we've got suddenly in a little bit.
We'll talk about all the craziness, but actually, you wanted to start with
well,
the
I
offer
guess
sheets.
This is a reason for this. The offer sheet discussion, it's something that I'm hot about. I mean, Jeremy is very keen on the offer sheet thing.
Maybe so the reason for
maybe
okay.
It's because I spent a week with Howard and Jeremy that
maybe.
I'm on this Jeremy's, I'm on this offer sheet love thing.
Yeah,
but
it's kind of rubbed off on you. But the reason for it though.
Let's talk about obviously quickly why I'm wanting to talk.
Exactly,
about it.
That's why.
John Tavares
signed with the Leafs.
Signed with the Leafs. 7
Are you
for
shocked?
11.
Are you shocked?
I'm not shocked.
Not shocked. I felt that it was it a
I
bit,
want to get aggressive.
Yes.
Hence,
As soon as the news broke that Tavares signed with the Leafs, people were saying on Twitter, you, Jeremy as well.
Offer sheet Nylander!
To offer sheet William Nylander, who is a restricted free agent right now. It's not going to happen.
By the way, that was so much fun to just roll back to the back of the room and shout that.
Fun. It's not going
to
happen.
I know it's not going to happen. But I want to talk about why it should.
So, I'm on Cap Friendly right now. I'm on their offer sheet calculator. If you put in, let's say, 7 years at $8 million per. Let's say you do that. That's $56 million. The average annual value, length value, it would be 5. This is according to Cap Friendly, which means the offer sheet average annual value comes up to $11.2 million. When you put that into the requirements, a team that wants to sign William Nylander to that money would have to give up 4 first-round picks to do it.
Hang on, for how much?
This if you were to sign if you were to offer sheet William Nylander for 7 years at $8 million.
Okay.
You would have to give up 4 first-round picks to do it. If the Leafs don't match it.
I thought No.
This is according to Cap Friendly.
Yeah. But you're doing it wrong.
Am I?
Yes.
I put the
it's
length
average annual compensation. If you get $8 million per on an AAV, that is not 4 first-round picks. That is a first, and a third.
That
for
would,
average
yeah, that
annual
would be.
Value.
That would be, but it's weird because when I put in length 7 years, cap hit $8 million, that's what it gave me of the 4 first round picks. Because it gave me the total value of $56 million, average annual value, length value 5, and offer sheet AAV 11.2. That's what it gave me. That's
Oh, you went for 5 years.
No, I went 7.
Oh. Then why did it say 5?
I don't know. When I go to 5, it does the first, second, and third.
Anyway. The average annual value still remains the same, no matter what.
Yeah.
Because if you were to give $8 million and $8 million over another 2 years, that calculator, it's got something going on wrong. The thing is, it's a very manageable thing. Even if you wanted to go ahead and raise the stakes a little bit and put it on an 8.5, 2 first-round picks, a second, and a third. You think Toronto's accepting that for William Nylander in a trade offer? No.
No, they would match that all day.
And then comes the question of, can you? Right now, yes. Would you be having to make a move in order to get a defenseman? Also, yes.
But then the other thing, too, you got to look at the other side of it. Is a GM willing to potentially risk giving up those kind of... Let's say you have to give up 4 first-round draft picks in order to do it.
If you have to give up 4 first... That never will happen again. Not since the Thomas Vanek and did Shea Weber hit that territory?
Yes.
If you're signing a guy like Shea Weber or Thomas Vanek, well, the Oilers got desperate. But because didn't Penner was not 4 first round picks. They went
no,
after
Penner
Vanek,
was something else.
And
no.
Penner was a lot lighter of a cost for them.
Yeah.
But that was so long ago. Shea Weber was the last.
And also
big
the
name.
cap ceiling was also way lower back then too.
Yes, and now the cap is so much higher now.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to offer a player $10 million plus on average annual value to have to get into the four first round picks territory. There's no risk because you're not signing a guy to that.
Yeah, so Dustin Penner signed a 5-year, $21.25 million offer sheet with the Oilers that Anaheim did not match.
And Anaheim got what out of it? It was what, like a first and change?
It doesn't say, unfortunately.
Either way,
5 years, that's a little more than like four per year, so I would imagine it was probably like
in current days
it'd be a second round pick. Maybe it was something, maybe it was just a third.
It was probably a first and a third or something.
Maybe first and a third.
So my big thing is this. Even if you were to offer William Nylander 8.5 per season, that's two firsts, a second, and a third. More so than that is not William Nylander. It is Nikita Kucherov.
Oh, yeah.
The Tampa Bay Lightning are in a cap problem. Nikita Kucherov's going to get a raise. Nikita Kucherov, as a matter of fact, could be someone that does threaten that four first-round picks threshold because he is that good. A team needs to do this now, though, with a guy like William Nylander, where you're not going to be spending four first-round picks on it. Will it happen? As you said, no.
I don't think so.
Is it fair for a man to dream? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, it's always fair to dream.
But
absolutely.
Also, as Shia LaBeouf once said, don't let your dreams be dreams.
By the way,
general managers, just do it.
By the way, Tampa's cap situation for next year, actually pretty good. They can re-sign Kucherov pretty easily.
Then hit it anyway. Hit him. Hit them.
I wouldn't be shocked if he gets signed midseason.
Hit them.
By the way, more free agency to talk about. Leo Komarov signed with the Islanders.
Okay. I shrug my shoulders for the moment.
Yeah.
I just wish this stuff happened again. That's my only problem.
GMs, just for some reason, are so scared. I don't know if they're scared of giving up the picks to do it, or they would rather just sign a regular free agent and not have to give up anything to do it.
Wait, you look at all these sorts of things, though. Throughout history, players were signed to these big deals, and you saw guys like Joe Sakic, Keith Tkachuk get offer sheeted, Scott Stevens. Was offered.
Yeah, but also at that time there was no salary cap, so it didn't really matter.
Brendan Shannon.
And that's the other thing too, is you got to worry about the salary cap.
Timo Solani was also offer sheeted back in the day. It was so fun to look at these sorts of things. Then there was a massive gap between Sergei Fedorov, matched by the Red Wings from the Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a massive gap from 1998 to 2006. That was Fedorov to Ryan Kessler. And then you start seeing the petty levels happening. You saw Ryan Kessler get offer sheeted by the Flyers, and the Canucks said, duh, no. I mean, come on. It was also only a 1-year, $1.9 million. Mm-hmm. The Sabres most famously had to match a massive contract, seven years, $50 million.
Vanek
still, for the most part, played to that contract.
Yep.
They would have gotten four first-round picks out of Edmonton.
So Edmonton ended up having to give up a first, second, and third.
In retrospect, I think
Penner.
Darcy Rogier would have done it if he didn't lose his two captains already.
Yeah.
And then Dustin Penner, immediately after the Sabres matched it, about 3 weeks later, Dustin Penner's the one. It was a first, a second, and a third, by the way.
Yeah,
in 2008.
Yeah, 2008.
But then I saw a nice little feud the next year, which was so much fun. The St. Louis and Vancouver pissing match.
Yeah, David Backett signs a 3-year offer sheet with Vancouver. Steve Bernier signs a 1-year offer sheet with St. Louis.
Because
it wasn't just that, it was the timeline.
The Blues took their time, their 7 days, made Vancouver wait the whole time, and then after matching it, they sent the offer sheet to Steve Bernier.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It was a pissing match that was hilarious to watch. I love seeing these kinds of things.
Yeah.
But then you see Nicholas Jarlinson, 4 years, $14 million.
Yep.
Back in 2010. Then Shea Weber, the big one, the albatross that they managed to trade away.
The albatross that's still in effect right now.
14 years, First off, the fact that free agency still, as of 2012, was allowed to offer 14-year contracts.
Oh, yeah, that was the last, I think that was the last year of it.
Yeah, for $110 million.
Because there was the lock, because there was a lockdown, the 2012.
But Nashville matched it.
The next year you had, and the next year you had O'Reilly. With
and Ryan O'Reilly was the last player to be offered and signed.
To be offer sheet.
And offer sheet.
Yep.
The Calgary Flames.
We haven't seen one since.
And that's the thing. Why don't we see one since? You saw a bunch of activity between 2006 and 2013. What changed?
I don't know.
After 2013 that nobody wanted to
do? Well, there was a new CBA.
Okay, that's a pretty big change. But, like, between general managers, it almost seems like there's a gentleman's agreement to not do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but if it's in the CBA, which it still is.
Which it is.
It should be utilized. And that's my biggest thing, Frank, and that's my biggest problem.
It definitely should be utilized, but it doesn't. That doesn't mean it's gonna. That's the thing. It doesn't mean it's gonna be utilized. Teams are going to, you know, there will be a time where an offer sheet is going to be used again. We don't know when. GMs, for some reason, don't want to do it. And maybe there is a gentleman's agreement to not do it. Maybe there is. Maybe it's something with the, maybe the players have something to say with it as well. I don't know.
You have to be offered an offer sheet in order to have that happen.
Yeah, and you got to sign it, too. That's the thing. Like, you can offer sheet William Nylander a 7-year deal worth $6 million a year.
But I've heard no reports of anyone being offered an offer sheet and it being declined.
We don't hear about the ones that are declined.
But again,
the ones, you know, for all we know, offer sheets might happen every year. It's just they don't get accepted.
But we're looking at 6 years now.
For all we know,
it had to have been reported at some point that it was offered. That's the thing.
We don't know that. That's the thing. We don't know.
Because it's such a big deal over, like, say, the last 3 years, for example.
I think the reason
if something was declined, it would have been made public.
Maybe.
Because RFAs and offer sheets are now such a big deal of why don't they do it, that if it were to be offered, I think.
Now you might start.
Now would be the greatest time to do it.
I don't know.
Because the only way you're going to get young talent is not through free agency anymore. It's through restricted free agency, or it's through trade, or it's through the draft. That's the only way you're going to get players now. Otherwise, you're overpaying drastically for a JVR or something along those lines. And every now and then, John Tavares steps out.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is where I want to see it. I don't even care if Buffalo is the affected team. I want to see offer sheets because they're fun.
They are fun. They are.
Maybe something about the compensation has to be changed. I don't know. But what I do know is that it's something that's just not being utilized. And it's there to use. Just use it. What's going to happen? Someone's not going to trade with you for...
Maybe they should have a restricted free agency deadline to where if a team who gives a qualifying offer to restricted free agent who gives qualifying offers to restricted free agent. So let's say with the Sabres you have Sam Reinhardt, let's just use Reinhardt for an example.
There is a deadline, but it's like halfway through the next season.
Yeah, it's December 1st.
Yeah, it's a very lax deadline.
But let's say they bring it back and
make it by the end of the summer.
Or even like halfway through the summer. That means you got to get something done. If you don't get put more pressure on the GMs to sign their restricted free agents, or else maybe then you lose them for nothing.
Yeah.
So like, let's say by July 31st, but the Sabres would have to re-sign Sam Reinhardt, or else he could be a UFA.
Kind of like the
even at 22 years old.
Kind of like the NFL with the franchise tag.
Yeah, something like that.
If you don't have him signed by X amount, you know.
He can sign with whoever.
He can sign with whoever.
He can still re-sign with their team, but he can also sign with another team.
Yeah.
Maybe you do something like that.
Make the negotiation process a little more...
tight.
Intense.
Yes.
And again,
And maybe that's something that, maybe that's something that'll come up in the next CBA meetings.
And could you imagine how much more, like, free agency's already
Imagine, like, okay, everyone's talking about the Leafs are not going to be able to, they're going to have to trade William Nylander or Mitch Marner because they're not going to have the cap room to have all four of those two, Matthews and Tavares, on the team along with what they have now. Then maybe in the next CBA meetings, and it does go through in a few years, you got a guy like, let's say, like with the Sabres and Rasmus Dahlin, they have to sign him by July 31st after they qualify him.
I suspect a guy like Dahlin would get an extension before that.
Oh, no, I would too, but I'm saying is in that I use him as the example because he's a guy who would be an RFA by the time the next CBA
rolls
around.
If Dahlin ends up an RFA, the Sabres would get exactly what they deserve.
But you see what I mean.
But yeah, my big thing is there's a tool, it's not being used. I want it used.
Then there has to be something in it that is scaring GMs from doing it, and it's probably the giving up of the draft picks part. So maybe you change that and just make it a little more tighter for GMs to sign the restricted free agents, or else you lose them for nothing.
What about player for player then? Like how it was in the old days. The most famous one, Brendan Shanahan, Scott Stevens. That would be another way to try to change things up.
Yeah.
And it would give you a chance with qualifying offers for players, say like a Sam Reinhart. What would a team be comfortable with if they wanted to bring in Sam Reinhart? What would they be comfortable with parting with?
Right.
On your roster. And the Sabres can go ahead, you submit your offer to an arbitrator. And you have to, as the team losing Sam Reinhart, for example, you'd have to go ahead and look at their roster and say, I want this. Do you reach for the stars? Or do you try to lowball? Like, do you try to lowball a team and like really reach for the stars on it and try to get something really good from their roster? Or do you try to be a little more middlesome with it and play it safe?
So,
and get someone that you know that the arbitrator would accept
your
offer.
But here's the thing with the, like you mentioned, Scott Stevens and Brendan Shanahan. That's different. That was a different thing because.
But why not make it turn into that?
So the reason the Steven Shanahan thing was different was because St. Louis had signed Brendan Shanahan they gave an offer sheet, but they didn't have the draft picks to give the Devils because they didn't match it. The reason St. Louis didn't have the draft picks was because they had already given them to the Capitals because they signed Scott Stevens. So they gave New Jersey Scott Stevens as the compensation for signing Brendan Shanahan.
It was five first round picks, by the way, for Scott Stevens from Washington.
Yes. And St. Louis didn't have the first round picks to give New Jersey. So they gave him Scott Stevens instead.
And you know what happens, though? Look at this. It's as simple. I don't know why the Blues would decide to do that, though. Because, you know, you gave up those five first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Why not sign a Blues player on an offer sheet?
Maybe there weren't any.
Maybe there weren't any, I guess. But it just, again. But the Blues also had offered Cujo and Rob Brind'Amour two draft picks.
Yep.
The Devils
had only wanted Scott Stevens, and that's what they got.
And it was through an arbitration case.
Yep.
The Blues sent an offer, the Devils sent an offer, and that was it.
Yep.
And you let someone else, a third party, dictate, okay, which offer's more fair. Why not do that? That would make RFA hunting more...
That would definitely make it more interesting.
More interesting?
It would. It definitely would.
A different wrinkle, and
I think what we're coming towards is the actual offer sheet process needs to be changed.
Yes, I agree.
I like that idea. I like the idea. I also like the idea of you have to do it. You have to sign your restricted free agents until a certain period, or else they then become UFAs.
Yes. Or even just can't play for your main club for the season because they're not signed.
You don't want to tell a player that they can't play.
Well, yeah, but that still puts you in the, we got to get a deal done or else we can't have this guy on the ice. We can't have Sam Reinhart on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of want him on the ice.
Yeah.
So, no, I would just go with something like that instead of losing him for nothing, because then what's restricted free agency at that point?
That's true, too.
But you're right. Something needs to change in order for these things to start happening again.
Yeah.
and it would be fun to look at this. Dude, imagine that sort of thing. It's already silly season without RFA offer sheets,
right? It's always silly season at this time of the year.
That would make it so much crazier.
It would make it so much more silly. It wouldn't be silly season anymore. It would be crazy season.
It would be bonkers season. Let's go bonkers.
Yep.
I miss RFAs, and I miss offer sheets.
I would hope and I would imagine it's this kind of stuff's going to be talked about when the CBA's up. I would imagine.
It better be.
I hope so.
We'll see what happens there. I mean,
want to talk about the signings?
Yeah, we gotta talk about the elephant in the room.
So, we talked about we mentioned it already.
It was brought up because of this.
Yep. Tavares is a Leaf. Honestly, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
Arthur Staple
like
just tweeted out, actually. He literally just tweeted this out. Tavares says he's actually doing a press conference right now in Toronto. It was between the Leafs and the Islanders, and he made that decision to join Toronto last night.
Well, yeah, if he didn't...
We knew. I had a feeling he made the decision last night.
Yeah, we knew the timeline.
But the fact is that... So San Jose at that point then last night was out. It was San Jose who was out, and it was still between the Islanders going back to the island or joining Toronto. And
exactly,
he's going to Toronto.
Now, what does this mean for the Sabres? Obviously,
it means the Leafs are probably the favorite to come out of the Eastern Conference next year.
I don't know if one player makes a team.
This is John Tavares we're talking about.
I know, but there's still a problem in Toronto. That they have the cap space to fix, but they still have a problem. Their defense was Boston's most valuable players in the playoffs.
You got to hope that guys like, especially a guy like Nikita Zaitsev, makes a bounce back year. And I think for Toronto, they're hoping guys like Travis Dermott, Timothy Liljegren, the guy they signed out of Russia, Oshignov, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. And guys like these, like younger guys, Andreas Borgman, Callie Rosen, and Timothy Liljegren, especially too, can come up to the team this year, not be a part of the team right away, but at some points be able to contribute. Because right now their decor looks like Riley, Zaitsev, Gardner, Ron Hainsey, Connor Carrick, and Travis Dermott is six, and then they would need another guy. Which they could be Morenson as a seven, but then they got like guys who I mentioned already.
Yeah.
So I think they're hoping that one of those younger guys comes up and makes an impact.
They still need a minute eater, a top liner.
They definitely do.
And they need...
But like I said, I think they're hoping that one of their younger guys becomes that.
Then I don't think they're coming out of the Eastern Conference this year.
I don't know.
Because until you can do that, Boston's going to let you up. Tampa's
going to
let you up.
All it takes is one of their players having a bounce back year. All it takes is a guy like Zaitsev to bounce back. A guy like Jake Gardner. And I think Jake Gardner's a guy who would do it because he's a free agent next year.
I was going to say, I don't know if Zaitsev has that capability. I think he's a second pairing defenseman.
He's probably a second pairing defenseman, yeah. But a guy like Jake Gardner might be that guy who has that bounce back year and could down the road next season be that minutes eater you need. And probably because he's going to be playing for a contract next year. And if that's all it takes, the Leafs may very well be coming out of the Eastern Conference.
I just don't know if it's happening this year, then.
It might not. We don't know.
I will say this.
I would be interested in how they handle the development of their young defensemen.
Yes.
That's what I want to see what they do.
Of course, John Tavares is a problem.
Oh, yeah. He's a huge problem.
But what it does, though, is strengthens Toronto's strength.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help address their weakness. Yes, he's more defensively responsible, but how much is that going to help? I don't necessarily know. I'm not saying that signing John Tavares is meh. It's definitely a five-alarm fire for me as a Sabres fan. But I don't know if it's that one signing that they were away from getting to the Stanley Cup. because I haven't even gotten out of the first round under Babcock.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with their defense, but
they need.
It might not matter.
They still, I think, this
year. It might not matter.
If they want to go to the Cup this year, I think they would have to do something about it.
It might not matter, though. All it takes is one guy to have a bounce back year, and even a guy like Connor Carrick to have a really good year. A guy who and he's still growing, too. He's only 24. Their defense is also pretty young still, because Riley's 24, Zaitsev's 26. Their oldest player is Ron Hainsey, who's 37, but he can still play. Gardner's 27, Carrick's 24, Dermott's 21. The guy they signed from Russia is 25. Kelly Rosen, 24. Borgman, 23. Timothy Liljegren's 19. And he was playing top 4 minutes on the team that won the Calder Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Marinson's 26. They got Andrew Nielsen, too, who's 21. I don't know if he's going to do anything. And then they just signed Jordan Subban, who's 23.
Yeah.
A lot of youth.
There's a lot of youth, but I don't know. Like, the biggest question.
And all it takes is just one young guy to make an impact.
Yeah. It's just going to be a question of how much and how ready are they?
I think signing John Tavares makes them ready. I really do.
Yeah, I don't know if I see the Leafs as that one guy away. But he definitely is a great player and a problem for a Sabres fan.
Remember, the Leafs Morgan Rielly might be that minute eater. He might be that minute eater. He's their number one defenseman.
He needs help, though.
You just need some help. And like I said, all it takes is a young guy to make a step up or a guy who had a bad year last season to have a bounce back year. And they got the guys to do it.
All right.
All they got to do is just now re-sign William Nylander.
After that, though, your next biggest free agent move. It's James Van Riemsdyk. He goes back to Philadelphia.
Back to Philly. I'm surprised at that. I am surprised. Because I don't remember Philly being talked about that much for him. I remember Buffalo was being talked. New Jersey was being talked. And he's from the New Jersey area.
He got a 5-year deal, $35 million. So that's $7 million per year.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that a regret coming for JVR, who's 29?
It
happened until he's 34. They didn't put him on a 7-year deal, which is good for them.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. And it depends. Because it depends on is JVR still going to score goals?
You've got talent, though, in Philly.
Yeah, you've got the talent.
He doesn't have to be on the top line.
No.
You've got Giroux and Couturier down the middle.
Yep.
You wouldn't have a problem. I think JVR just plugs right in. But I have a personal favorite, actually. For a 3-year deal, Vegas, with their cap space, going and getting Paul Stastny.
Yeah, strengthening the center core.
Which disappeared in the Stanley Cup Final.
And it's not a long-term deal. I'm surprised Nancy didn't really get anything longer term because there was talk about it. But
I think it's because of the fact that he wasn't going to get 6.5 per year.
Yeah,
under a longer-term deal, he might have gotten 4 and change on a 5-year term, maybe something like that. And then he probably gets bought out. I don't know. He's 32. Yeah, I guess he knows it was the last chance to really cash in.
Yep.
$19.5 million on the total value of the contract. Vegas did a nice job there.
Yeah.
The Sabres.
That's a good signing.
By the way,
so
Tyler Bozak, he was a guy I was looking at. 3 years, $5 million per.
To St. Louis.
I would have accepted that. But, ready? To St. Louis.
I just said that, yes.
There's the problem.
Does that impact O'Reilly?
Does that impact if the Sabres were in on a Ryan O'Reilly trade? Are the Blues out now because they just signed discount Ryan O'Reilly? Yes.
They might be.
I think they did.
But what else they did?
They signed discount Ryan O'Reilly. I think the Blues are out.
I don't think O'Reilly's getting traded anymore.
I don't think so either. Once you see Tavares sign.
And I'm fine with that. You know what? I'm quite happy.
Once you see Tavares sign in Toronto, you look around and you see that the Sabres are one of the few teams in their division that can keep up with that center core.
Yes. 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 By the way, it's also signing with St. Louis, former Sabre Chad Johnson, and David Perron. Back, going back again for the third time to St. Louis on a pretty nice contract.
Four years, $4 million.
I'm surprised it was $4 million. I'm not surprised about 4 years.
Vice versa. I'm not surprised about the $4 million. I was surprised he got a fourth year.
You know what? If this was a contract the Sabres would have gotten for Perron, I would have been very happy with it.
I agree.
But he's going back to St. Louis. Yeah, I don't really. I think they're out on O'Reilly too. I really do. Bozak's probably going to be their number two center there.
Yep.
Behind Braden Schenn.
Yeah, I agree.
And then they still got their younger guys too.
And they didn't have to give up any draft picks or prospects to get Ryan O'Reilly.
Yep.
So now comes this question: if the Sabres are still in on trade offers, there are the spurned. If you're Buffalo, do you look at the Islanders and go, hey, Lou, tough loss there, bud. We've got this Ryan O'Reilly.
There was talk of that. And there was talk about the Islanders possibly going to look into O'Reilly if you can get a haul. Once again, it's like St. Louis, you know. Can you get that top-notch prospect and the picks? The Islanders, I'm looking at what they have now. I don't know if they're going to do it, especially now that they lost Tavares. I don't think they're going to be willing to give up a first-round pick next year. I think you might have to look into a 2020 first-round pick.
Which would be acceptable parameters.
Which is fine. And then the prospect, obviously, would then be, what else are you going to do?
That's your key.
What's your key?
No, you can't ask for Oliver Wahlstrom.
You're not going to ask for you're not going to get Oliver Wahlstrom.
Because that's why O'Reilly
wasn't
traded in the first place.
Yeah. You're not going to get Matt Barzal. Anthony Bolivier, maybe? He was in the NHL last season. He's 21.
He's not a
maybe? That would be an interesting one.
And would
Kiefer Bellows?
And would fill into your top six, by the way, Bolivier.
Yep. Kiefer Bellows? Maybe?
Mm-hmm. Maybe if I wanted to try to get a Kiefer Bellows or an Anthony Beauvillier and that first-round pick, maybe you try to eat up a massive salary, too, you know?
You mean, like, retain?
Yeah, well, not even retain. Like, look at the Islanders' contracts, and you go ahead and try to see...
take a bad contract.
If you want to take a guy like, you know, Casey Cizikas is making 3.35 on three more years. Cal Clutterbuck's making 3.5 per year over the next four.
I'm not taking
Cal Clutterbuck, though. Josh Bailey's 28. And he's making.
He just signed that. He's not that they. He actually earned that contract. I'm not. They're not going to do that.
And then finally, though,
they just signed Komarov.
The one though,
Zekas would seem like the more probable one.
But other than that, though, by the way, Buffalo had a solid silent day in the free agent market.
Yep.
And we'll get to Carter Hutton in a moment because that's the big one.
Yep.
But they retain Scott Wilson.
Yep.
They signed...
2 years, a little more than a million. Yeah. That's not bad.
Solid, and he's a guy who...
He'll be on your fourth line.
He'll be up and down your lineup, I think.
Think about this. The Sabres signed Scott Wilson to a little more than a million. Meanwhile, guys like Leo Komarov got 4 years. Jay Beagle got 3 years. Antoine Roussel got 4 years at over $3 million.
For each of them.
Yeah.
And... again, it was a smart signing, a solid signing. You saw Ryan Reeves get $2.275 million
for 2 years. Yeah, exactly.
Per season for 2 years.
That makes the Scott Wilson signing
gross.
Really good. That makes the Scott Wilson signing a lot better.
Because I can trust Scott Wilson with the puck more than I can Ryan Reeves.
Not even that. Like you're signing a fourth liner for $1 million. That's what you do for your fourth line. Don't sign fourth liners for more than two years is fine. 3 years? No. You don't do that for fourth liners because those are replaceable players. Fourth liners are the most replaceable players on the team.
And you still got a guy that you traded for. You locked him up for another 2 years, and it's a pretty nice contract.
It's a nice raise for him. And
Brandon
Hickey
gets signed.
No surprise.
As expected,
we were
because they wouldn't
that.
Have traded for him if they didn't have a plan.
Exactly.
And then
very
Scott
happy with that.
Wedgwood, right? Hedgewood?
Yes, Scott Wedgwood.
Wedgwood.
25 years old, so there's still a little bit room to grow with him. He's got a lot of NHL experience already. So and
but signed primarily to be the
probably
Rochester
the number
goaltender.
One in Rochester. Yes, with Adam Wilcox.
And
that allows Jonas Johansson to play another year in the ECHL.
And it could allow you to try to push the timeline for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
And it probably push it. What that probably does now, it opens up. Yeah, it really opens up where you're going to do a UPL because
he could go to junior where he was drafted
by
in
Sudbury
the first round by Sudbury.
Third overall
export draft.
Third overall.
Draft, yeah.
Yeah, in the import draft.
In the import draft there. And
third overall to Sudbury. And now you have that as an option, too, along, obviously, with he could be in Rochester, he could be in Cincy.
He could be in
or
Finland.
Or he could go back still. To Finland.
And
you have many. Now you have many options. I love the idea of putting him in Sudbury.
Yes, I do, too.
I love the idea. I'm going to look up Sudbury right now, actually.
Because not to mention, though, he could get you. Roster aside, he can get used to the North American ice.
Yes.
That is the biggest thing to me.
Yes.
And that would allow Luukkonen to really get used to that ice, everything like that.
Yep.
And if it doesn't pan out, he can go back to Finland.
HPK is his team in Finland.
Yes, with the orange pads.
Yes.
Which are awesome.
Yes, they are awesome.
I wish the Sabres wore orange just to have the pads. Because those things are boss. But again, so then Wedgwood signs. You can push down the timeline a little bit for Johansson. And then there's Carter Hutton.
3 years.
A player that was long to be told to be signing with Buffalo throughout the week, originally reported by Andy Strickland. And, hey, there it was. 3 years, as we had expected, as we were hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But the cap hit, savvy. And a shake of the hand for Jason Botterill on this one.
Yeah.
275.
275 for
so even
3 years.
On that third year, that is
no the mon like that's the thing. The thing that was always getting me was if it's going to be 3 years at $4 million. The
exactly.
$4 million was what scared me. It wasn't the 3 years. I can live with 3 years, but it had to be like under $3 million in order for you to be comfortable with it. And it's exactly what it is. If it was 2 years at $4 million, I can live with that as well. I'm fine with that. I did not like 3 years at $4 million for a 32-year-old goalie who is really hasn't really done much. But 3 years at 2.75, I can live with that because that gives that's at least solid. That's an overpaid backup. That's an overpaid backup, and you can live with that when you've got your guy who's the future coming up in on the league, on the team too, and he's not going to be a lot of money. If Linus Ullmark has a really good year next season and he proves to be a number one goalie and establishes himself as the man, and you re-sign him to, let's say, a five-year deal and give him like $4 million a year, you can live with having 2 years with you paying your goalies not even $7 million. You can live with that. You can do that.
There are teams
it
that
sucks.
Pay their goalies more than $7 million a year alone
by
their starters.
Montreal. It sucks to have to pay your goalies $8 million total for 2 years when one of them is your guy and the other one is aging.
Yes.
But at less than $3 million, you can live with that.
Exactly. And that's where I think it was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Hutton seems to really like the situation as well because he reportedly left more money on the table to sign in Buffalo. And that's nice.
It's nice to be able to have that happen.
Even if it's for a goalie that isn't going to be here for too long.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. Now, prospect camp, done with. Training camp will be next. It's not for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The prospects tournament, though, will be here before that.
Yep.
I doubt Rasmus Dahlin will be in that.
He'll be there.
Will he? I mean,
I would figure.
I wouldn't want to put a.
Eichel played in it.
Okay, then.
I remember Eichel playing in it. Yeah, Eichel played in the first. Because that was the first year of it.
Right.
Yeah, Eichel played in it.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be there.
I've got a hot take, by the way, from Dev.
You got because remember, you got to have Dahlin get used to the North American game as much as possible.
Yes, that's true. I've got a hot take, though, about something that happened at Dev Camp.
Okay.
I don't know if I like Matei Pekar.
Why?
If that's the way he's going to play in camps, where he's basically egging someone on to fight that is important to the Sabres' future.
I see what you're saying.
My brain is telling me now, great, in 2 or 3 years when he's ready to take on Sabres training camp, he's going to hit Jack Eichel, and I'm not going to like it.
I see, okay.
Next thing you know, you've got a Clark MacArthur situation on your hands.
I see.
Maybe that's me overthinking.
I would hope.
Maybe that's me overthinking.
And I would think, too, that Sabres coaches would talk to him about it and tell him, hey, lighten up
back
on it.
Off.
Yeah, lighten
these
up
are
on
your
the
guys.
Letting them on the pest, on the pestiness. We like it. It's nice to you got to have a guy who can be that.
Yes.
You need a guy who can do that. But you don't have to do it in dev camp. You don't have to do that. This is where we're testing your skills, your skating, your speed, your shooting. We're not interested in the physical play right now.
Also,
in order for him to get to Sabres training camp, he also has to sign. Which, if he does, hey, good for him. He's done. That means he's done a lot. That means he's done the right things to do it. But you would want to at least tell him, you know, that side of you, we love it, but we want to make. But you got to control it.
Yeah.
And he's also, remember, he's still really young, too. He's 18 years old. There's room to grow with him. I get what you're saying. I think it's something that you don't worry about right now. It's definitely weird to see it, especially in dev camp. But if he comes back next year and he doesn't do any of that at all, and he looks amazing in terms of his skill, his skating, his speed, all that, we're not going to have this conversation.
I will say that from the scouting reports, you know, Pekar is that high motor kind of guy.
Yeah.
I just worry when anyone says they do look up to Brad Marchand.
As long as you're not that dumb, then you should be fine.
That's my only worry.
As long as you're not Brad Marchand dumb where you're going to lick someone in the face and you're a cheap shop artist who gets suspended all the time.
I'd rather you do the licking part of the Brad Marchand than... You know, like slew footing or...
I would rather the parts that he look up to Brad Marchand is his scoring ability.
Yes. And being at least physical while doing so.
Sure.
Not cheap.
Sure.
Not being a pest.
Yes.
That's where I'm worried.
Yeah.
I'm probably overthinking.
Yeah.
I'm probably overthinking, but I don't care. I said it was a hot take. It's just one of those things where I could see like some... Because it's Buffalo... Picard labels Eichel or Mittelstadt or Dahlin a couple of years down the road, and you're just like, and the next thing you know, I'm yelling to ship this guy out for a seventh-round pick in 2024.
Right. Right. No, I definitely get what you're saying, though.
So, there's that. I don't know how I'd feel about that. And obviously, I don't sense that it'll get worse. I think he wanted the coaches to notice him. And have the name in his head. Because it worked for me. Like, you know, the name's in my head. There is a method to that madness.
Right.
So, I'm just hoping it was just that. That's all.
I definitely agree. So, a lot of the other signings going on. We saw Drew Doughty re-sign with the Kings.
We saw Logan Couture sign with the Sharks.
Yep.
Long-term, Oliver Ekman-Larsson's long-reported agreement.
Yes.
Finally official. You see the Ilya Kovalchuk thing become official. Other than that, really not much otherwise.
We haven't really seen any major signings. Vlad Nemestikov re-signed with the Rangers.
I mean, we talked about everything else, though. Stastny, yeah. Perron, JVR...
Some guys have signed their entry-level deals. Val Natushkin's officially back in the NHL with the Stars.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That was something that had been reported a little bit ago. Michael Grabner, a guy who was believed that Buffalo was in on, signed with the Coyotes.
Yeah.
Interesting with that. Ryan McDonough re-signed with Tampa. B- big contract. They're 7 years, 6.6¾ per. Jaro Halak signed with Boston. Blake Como to Dallas. Jonathan Bernier went to Detroit. The Ilya Klobuchar signing's official. We talked about Jack Johnson going to Pittsburgh.
We did not talk about Jack Johnson going to Pittsburgh.
That's funny because Pittsburgh with the Pittsburgh trades Matt Hunwick and Connor Sherry with uses the cap space to sign Jack Johnson.
They use the cap space to sign Jack Johnson to a 5-year deal
at 3¼ per.
I'm a little surprised.
The money is fine. It's just the length.
The term is just, come on, man.
Because he's 30. He's 31.
You think he's going to hang out playing until he's 36? I don't know, man. Sure.
But you know what, though? What does that say to that? They say every GM gets one. Every GM always makes one bad move. This is probably Jim Rutherford's bad move.
I guess. I really... I just find it a little dumbfounding.
It is. It's pretty dumbfounding.
They did need defensive help. Absolutely.
They did. Oh, yeah.
You saw how Chris Letang single-handedly blew that series for Pittsburgh against Washington.
Yep.
Twice allowing Evgeny Kuznetsov to get on breakaways for game-winning goals.
Yep.
While he does his little Flappy Bird celebration.
So we got some other signings, too, with Vancouver. They re-signed Sven Berchi. They signed Tim Schaller, former Sabre, to a 2-year deal. Not bad, honestly. That's actually I'd like that. But then they sign Antoine Roussel and Jay Beagle to 4-year deals each worth $3 million. And I talked about this with Scott Wilson. You don't do that to fourth liners.
You could do it with a guy like Beagle because he at least produces in some form of way that can move up to the third line when called upon.
He
proved that. I think Beagle earned a little bit of that. But you see these savvy signings of like the Capitals retaining Devontae Smith-Pelly for under $1 million.
$1 million exact.
Oh yeah, so it was $1 million exact. Thought it was under.
It's $1 million exact.
But still, you get a signing.
When he
could have
gotten, when he said, even said he could have gotten like $1 million more than that somewhere else. But he wanted to stay. But he wanted to stay in Washington. But again, there's been a trend. What we're seeing is more players are starting to sign with teams that they want to sign for, and they're taking less money to do it.
Yes.
Like, Smith-Pelly left money on the table. Carter Hutton left money on the table. John Tavares left money on the table. I guarantee you he left money on the table.
He at least left a whole year's worth of money on the table. He could have took an 8-year contract.
I would imagine San Jose offered him at least 12 or 13 per. Because there was talk that one team had called Tavares this morning after they knew they found out he was planning on signing with the Leafs. Said, "Hey, we'll offer you this much instead," to try to get him to change his mind.
San Jose, by the way, I wanted San Jose to get something so badly, and they strike out on Kovalchuk. They strike out on Tavares,
but they re-sign Couture. They signed Evander Kane.
It would have been nasty to see one or two of those guys on that team. That's all.
They're gonna re-sign Joel Thornton.
Oh, I mean, that was a given, too.
Yeah.
It was just, dang it. I would have really loved to see the Sharks looking like that. But now I feel a little more secure about that first-round pick.
Okay. They're still going to be a good team. They're still going to be really good.
They are still really good.
They're still really good.
So I do agree about that.
Yeah.
But now, Frank,
you're not in the, we got to trade that pick because that's going to be a...
Exactly.
That's going to be pick 31.
Or and Tavares.
That's going to be pick 28 to 31.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I just really like what the Sabres are doing here. I didn't need the flashy free agent signing, even though it would have been fun.
Yeah.
Say they were to go after JVR. And that
would have been fun to see, but then in like 2 years, you're like, why did we do this?
Exactly. But you find out, though, that Jason Botterill, and this was the main reason I was okay with this, Jason Botterill helped the Penguins get out of so many of those situations, you can count them out.
Mm-hmm.
And like you look at Chris Kunitz, you look at James Neal. Those are players that they had that were big money deals. They brought in Phil Kessel.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have found ways with Jason Botterill there to circumvent the cap and get rid of contracts.
Right.
They found their ways to do it, and we've got that guy that was the main part of their cap juggling. I suspect when the Sabres are ready to do it, they'll get a guy, and they'll start juggling contracts.
When they have to be at the point where they can do it. And They're not right now.
You need to be able to play well.
They need
enough
to have
entice.
Some. They need to have some success first.
Yeah, you need to
in
entice
order
people
to, do
to
it.
Come here.
Yeah, and that's how Toronto was able to get Tavares too. Also, hometown team because he grew up in Toronto. That helps too.
Oh yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about Tavares. That's a special case in itself.
But even still, even if Toronto wasn't the hometown team, let's say Toronto and Montreal switched. Montreal was this really good young team with Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander, Morgan Riley, and everything. Montreal could entice Tavares to come there because look at the team they have.
Right.
And they've proven that they can make the playoffs. And Giant John Tavares put them over the hump. And that's what that's their pitch. You would be the main piece in putting us over the hump with what we have now.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, this is, and again, I suspect, though, that the Sabres are really going to be able to find their way throughout all this cap navigation with even Kyle Poso, Zach Bogosian, everything like that. They'll find their way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, we are probably going to see some form of a deal with the Sabres. Why? I mean, come on. Look at that defensive core. You've got Dahlin, Bogosian, Scandella, Beaulieu, McCabe, Hunwick, Pilut, Gouley, Nelson. There's got to be room made.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Frank.
What's that?
You think Victor Olofsson cracks the Sabres this year?
He might. His shot is deadly.
The thing is when you stand out like that in some sort of way at Dev Camp, you really have a chance
to do
something.
An impression.
Not only do you make an impression, but if you stand out so much against the prospects that people have to look at you.
That might say something.
It says something about
that
how you might
says
be
something.
Ready.
Yep.
Dahlin stands out. Mittelstadt, with those hands, stands out.
Mm-hmm.
Gouley skating, stands out. Olofsson's shot, it stands out. Now, Gouley, Mittelstadt, Dahlin, you knew their shoe-ins. You didn't know that necessarily about Olofsson.
We didn't know what... We knew what we were being told about Olofsson, but we hadn't seen it up close.
We hadn't seen it personally yet.
Now we have.
Looks
oh, boy.
Nice.
He might be a dark horse to make the team. He might be.
And
he might
you know
be
what?
One of those speedy wingers with that kind of shot you put in, like your bottom six.
You
like
know
your
what,
third
though?
Line.
It's about
him and Mittelstadt together.
It'd be about damn time that... Tim Murray actually gave us something outside of rounds one and two.
Yeah, really.
Well, I should say rounds one and Brandon Gouley.
Yeah. Well, Rasmus Asplund looked good, too.
Yeah. Like I said, it's about time.
Yeah. Olofsson. He might make the team. Oh, love it. That shot, man. Oh, my God. I saw one of the goals he scored where he's just coming down the right wing and just snaps it right over the goalie's right arm, and it goes bar down. Oh God!
Yeah, he
can't wait to. I can't wait to see that against the big boys too. In
yeah,
training
let's see
camp.
It in training camp.
Let's see if he can. Let's see if he can utilize that. So, couple things. Interesting to note, Tavares actually mentioned Kyle Poso as a guy who he leaned on during this free agent process. So he talked to him. He was talking to Poso a lot during this process and like how Kyle handled it when he
probably
when he was
the process
agent.
And not necessarily the hey man, why don't you come back and we'll hang out in Buffalo,
yeah,
bro.
I wish.
I mean I would imagine Oposo said that, but then Tavares goes,
I think
sorry bro, I'm going to play at home.
I don't know. Maybe Oposo did try.
I'd imagine he did.
Before,
what kind of friend doesn't drag
really.
You into their mess?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Frank, we're playing for the 11-day power play. You want to come goalie for us? Here, play goalie for 4 straight hours while we practice and see how well 4 hours will go.
Yes, that went pretty
even
well.
Even though you're not actually on the ice.
And that
the
went pretty well.
Thing.
That went well for you.
Shut up. Just saying, what friend doesn't drag their other friend
this
into a mess?
This is true.
That they're in. Or at least
Ottawa,
try to.
Ottawa has now officially, they've already talked about this. They've made a contract extension offer to Erik Karlsson. We don't know exactly what it is, but...
And it was probably denied.
Well, Carlson's probably egging them on right now and looking at it, be like, ooh, you know, this is pretty interesting, actually. I like this term, this money. You know what? If you can offer me a little bit more money, you know, maybe I will stay. And then eventually it's just going to be like, yeah, I'm not signing with you guys. Trade me.
Yes, I...
He's getting traded. That team is
By the way, Hal Babcock currently envisions his top two lines. Marlowe, yeah, Matthews, Nylander, Hyman, Tavares, Marner. Crap.
I'm out. I'm done. Man. Yeah, and the Leafs aren't
December 4th.
Aren't good. Yeah, and the Leafs aren't good enough to make the Stanley Cup next season.
Defensively, no. I'll stand by it. But are they good enough to kick our teeth in 6-4? Yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, yes, Buffalo will score 4 goals at some point against Toronto, because anytime they play at KeyBank Center, Toronto somehow has problems.
Yeah. It's weird.
Oh, boy.
Free agency, man.
I could still hate it for a chance of the Sabres even trying to make the playoffs, okay?
Yeah.
And still have my point of they need defense to get to the cup.
Man.
Oh, well. Things happen there.
Yeah.
Yo, you know what else is going on, though, today?
What's going on?
It's Frank's birthday!
Tomorrow.
But I still felt like yelling it, because that's what a friend will do.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah.
My birthday's tomorrow.
Happy tomorrow birthday, Frank.
Yay.
John Tavares went to Toronto.
Oh. Don't worry, I'll make my birthday fun anyway.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
And...
Hey, guess what? Guess how old I am.
You're 27.
No.
You're 26.
Hey, Derek.
You're 20.
I thought of something funnier
you're
than
18.
24.
What?
25.
Get out. This has been the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. Frank, go party like Ovechkin.